Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
I have been asked to make one announcement for the congregation. Every family in the congregation did receive at the end of this week a letter updating you on the parking lot project and asking for your support in attaining a $150,000 low interest loan from Lutheran Church Extension Fund. I'm happy to report that we're closing in on having $400,000 already in the bank for the project. And I'm also happy to report that nearly all of the money needed for a monthly payment on the loan has also been pledged. So between now and May 1st, there is the yes or no vote for those 18 years of age and older in the congregation, and there's a ballot box in the narthex. You also may be interested, there is an optional digital forum this afternoon at 2 o'clock hosted by Alex Scheller and John Bender. If you have further questions or you just want to hear what they have to say, you certainly are encouraged to do that. Our service for this second Sunday in Easter follows this white service folder. For those listening online, I will announce the hymns. The responsive portions of the liturgy are in here, and those in the nave especially are encouraged to speak with strong voices. The opening hymn is 464, "The Strife is O'er, the Battle Done." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, We poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
Amen.
As newborn babes, alleluia, desire the pure milk of the word, alleluia. Called in trouble, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. And with honey from the rock, I would have satisfied you.
Glory be to the Father.
Newborn babes, alleluia, desire the pure milk of the word, alleluia.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Amen. Hymn 155, This is the Feast.
Thank you.
be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday of Easter is recorded in the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 37. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over. But there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever.
The epistle is recorded in the Apostle John's first letter, the fifth chapter. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us stand to hear the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia! Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Alleluia!
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us confess the faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
In 470, the sons and daughters of the king.
Thank you.
The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
When he showed them his hands and his side, then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. The exuberant joy that we see in evidence in the disciples and the women on Easter night is directly related to the suffering and the anguish and the grief that preceded it. Think about it. The disciples of Jesus and this band of faithful women who attended him for 3 years of his ministry in the days leading up to his crucifixion had witnessed so much of Jesus' ministry. They had witnessed wonderful things: healing of the sick, raising the dead. But what they witnessed in his ministry was a selfless, sacrificial love and unprecedented display of mercy and compassion for sinners who were afflicted by the problems of life. Jesus loved those he served. He empathized with their weaknesses. He felt the full burden of what sin had brought into the world. And he bore it all in love. He embraced the creation in all of its fallenness. And they understood this. They saw this. They witnessed this in Jesus' ministry. It's why they loved him, because they heard in his words and in his acts mercy and undeserved loving kindness. It's why we love him. By his word, we have experienced the forgiveness of sins, which has comforted our consciences and given us hope in the midst of a world of hopelessness and despair. So when the events of Holy Week unfolded, their joy was turned into sorrow. In a couple of weeks, in Eastertide, we will hear of how the sorrow is turned to joy, but in Holy Week, their joy was turned to sorrow. Think about it. It seemed as if everyone loved him on Palm Sunday. Thousands of people gathered. They were there for the pilgrim feast of the Passover, and they hailed him as Messiah. Hosanna, save us now. Hosanna to the Son of David. But on Good Friday, that mob that the high priest had assembled in the courtyard of Pontius Pilate shook their fists. Crucify him! Crucify him! Those disciples and women who loved their Lord Jesus witnessed him experiencing unimaginable pain and suffering. When he died, it seemed that every reason for joy and happiness and hope had been stripped from them. Nothing was certain anymore. Bewilderment, doubt, fear, despair, anxiety, grief, sorrow, shame, guilt. All of these emotions swirled around inside of them. They were spiritually numb and helpless. The women wept. Any courage that the disciples had was stripped from them. They didn't know what to do or what to think. And you could say they were on lockdown in the upper room for fear of the Jews, trembling and afraid. Now, hindsight is 20/20, isn't it? We know the rest of the story. It would be easy for us to say, hey, fellas, what's the matter with you? You know that Jesus told you he must go to Jerusalem, suffer and die, and the third day rise again from the dead. In his death, he bore the sins of the whole world, yours and ours. And he went to the cross and he made full atonement for sin. The penalty and the punishment for sin fell upon him. And he rose victorious on the third day because his death really did the job. It took away sins. Your sins are forgiven. What are you so afraid about? Why is it that you have no hope? Why are you in a state of despair? It's easy for us, isn't it, to say that kind of thing to them because we know the rest of the story. But how many times have you and I been where the disciples were on Easter night, trembling with fear and hopelessness and anxiety, not knowing what to do, not knowing what the future will hold, as if we have no hope, as if we have no salvation? They were locked behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. And then the resurrected Lord Jesus stepped into the room. And before they did anything, he spoke. And he said, peace be with you. And then he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Their sorrow was transformed into joy. And it wasn't simply the appearance of the resurrected Lord Jesus that inspired this joy in their hearts and that vanquished their hopelessness. He spoke a word to them, which is a word of love and salvation and hope. Peace be with you. That word of Jesus spoken in the upper room interpreted the cross. His death swallowed up death. His death was victory. And the proof of that was he stood before them bodily resurrected from the dead. This is why the resurrection of our Lord Jesus has stood for 2,000 years as the ground and foundation of our certainty and our hope as we face uncertain times, as we face sickness, as we lay to rest loved ones in the grave. We may do so with tears streaming down our cheeks, but we do so confessing with Job, I know that my Redeemer lives. It is that word of peace spoken to the disciples that took away their fear. And it is the same for us. Peace be with you. It was a word of pure grace. I love this about the story because when Jesus steps in the midst of them, they hadn't had an opportunity to do anything. They didn't confess to their Lord, we're so sorry, Jesus, we ran away from you. We're so sorry we denied you. They weren't given the opportunity to make any penance whatsoever. Jesus stood in the midst and proclaimed their salvation. Peace be with you. What a testimony of salvation by grace as a gift of God's undeserved love through what Jesus has done. And what he did in his death and resurrection, he now speaks to them in that word. It was a word of salvation. It was a word of reconciliation that restored their life with God. It was a word of life. It is the word that raises the dead. And it is a word of hope. Hope in the midst of a world of hopelessness and despair. And that word created faith in their hearts. It revived faith. It resurrected faith. It is why we have such things as private confession and absolution, so that hearts that are troubled by their sins and faith which is filled with doubt can be strengthened by Jesus' word, son, daughter, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. That word is a word of life, and it is a word of peace. Peace with God and peace with one another. Doubt and fear are powerful things, aren't they? Think about the power of the fear in our world today, given the things that we are experiencing. the kinds of anxiety that arises from this, the kind of hand-wringing franticness that arises from this. Not for the Christian whose faith is in the Lord Jesus. The Apostle John also wrote the epistle. It's a catechesis on what he testified to in the Gospels. And he says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. The object of our faith is Christ and Him crucified. Out of Christ and Him crucified, there springs forth resurrection and new life. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. How about that? His word is true. There's not a thing that we're experiencing that the word does not testify to in both the prophetic and apostolic scriptures. In this world, he says, you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And he overcame the world with all of its sin and sickness and death and judgment and condemnation by his suffering and death upon the cross. And the word peace be with you is the word of resurrection and new life. Now on Easter night, Thomas was not with the 11. And when he came to them, they exuberantly confessed, "We have seen the Lord, he has risen from the dead." And Thomas said, "Unless I see the print of the nails in his hands and place my hand into his side, I will not believe." We can understand how Thomas felt. He demands to see. Well, 8 days later, Jesus again appears in the upper room. And it's exactly parallel to what happened 8 days earlier. Before Thomas is given the opportunity to say, "Oh my, you are raised from the dead. I'm so sorry." Jesus speaks the word, "Peace to you." The same word he spoke to his colleagues 8 days earlier, he spoke to Thomas. Again, Thomas had no opportunity to do penance. He had no opportunity to confess his sin. And this is such a comforting message of the gospel that he steps into our world of sin and unbelief. The work of salvation is accomplished in his death and resurrection. And he simply stands in our midst today and says, "Receive it. It is a gift. Peace be with you. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, which receives this word and clings to it and trusts in it more than any other word in the universe. Because it is the word of Christ who has overcome death and the grave. It is the word of hope." Now we have to say something else about Thomas and his colleagues. They were chosen to be eyewitnesses. And they had witnessed Jesus' ministry, and they had witnessed his crucifixion, and they were called to witness his bodily resurrection from the dead the third day. In a certain sense, we can say that the apostles had the right to see with their eyes the resurrected Lord Jesus. And the reason we could say they had a right to that is because Jesus said they would witness it. And John, throughout his gospel and epistles, talks about being selected as an eyewitness who has handled the word of life, the very body of the Lord Jesus. Why were they chosen to be witnesses? The apostles witnessed the fulfillment of the Holy Scriptures in Jesus' ministry, death, and resurrection. What the apostles witnessed in the death and resurrection was that God's word is true. God's word is reliable. God's word is the foundation for faith and the source of our hope. So in the Nicene Creed that we confessed a moment ago, don't pass over the phrase. Every week we say, "He suffered and died and rose again according to the Scriptures." That's the foundation for faith. That's the ground of certainty. That's the source of ultimate comfort. So the apostles were chosen to be eyewitnesses of the fulfillment of the Scriptures in Jesus. No wonder at the beginning of his gospel, John will say, "The eternal Word, God the Son, became flesh, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." What they beheld in the Lord Jesus was the fulfillment of every word of Scripture in his death and resurrection. Doubt and fear are powerful things. But Jesus' word, "Peace be with you," is more powerful. It is Jesus' word that gives peace and restores faith and gives us hope. The experience of hardship and turmoil and uncertainty is nothing new to the world, and it is nothing new to the country in which we live. Sometimes we think that we are going through unprecedented times, times of distress unlike the world has ever known, and it's simply not true. Just think of the history of the United States in a few examples. The carnage of the American Civil War, North against South, entire families ripped apart as brother fought against brother, and countless members of the citizenry died. The grief was enormous. Entire cities and towns, especially in the South, were reduced to rubble. And it took decades for the country to come back from that carnage. Or what about the Great Depression in the 1930s that began with the stock market crash? And in the midst of the Great Depression, the so-called Dust Bowl that hit the central part of the United States and devastated entire communities and families. Or what about the world wars of the 20th century? How many millions of people were killed or murdered by fascist regimes? Or what about the social chaos of the 1960s? I can remember that as a little boy. Protests on college campuses, firebombing, and all kinds of mayhem. Or what about the political unrest, corruption in high places, Watergate, double-digit inflation in the 1970s. So it's easy for us to say, nobody's seen the trouble we've seen, but it's simply not true. And yet, our comfort does not come from, well, we've had hard times before, we got through those hard times, let's buck up and get through these times. That's never the church's response. It's never the Christian's response. The source of comfort and strength is in the word of Christ. Peace be with you. Do not be afraid. This word takes away fear. It forgives sins. And by it, Jesus breathes on us the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is the Lord and giver of life and of eternal life. The disciples' devastating sorrow, and make no mistake about it, their grief was overwhelming, was transformed into eternal optimism and hope when Jesus spoke those words, "Peace be with you." It meant that everything that he did was true, and it was the ground of certainty. I pray for those who do not have the hope of the resurrection of the body to everlasting life. They have every reason to despair. But for us, and we offer to the world, a word that restores hope, peace to you. And we have our Lord's sure and certain promise. The apostles testified, and through the eyes of their body, they enable us to see through the eyes of faith that Jesus is risen from the dead. And he says, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." That's you and me. Look at what Jesus has done. He died for your sins. He rose from the dead. He declares you righteous. He joins you to himself in the waters of holy baptism. the present sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now, this does not mean that Christians do not experience doubts or fears or anxieties or distress. We do, just as our colleagues, the disciples in the upper room, experienced it. But as they needed the word of Jesus, "Peace be with you," so do we. It is the one thing needful. We might call it an essential service. This Sunday is called Quasimodo Geniti. It's a Latin phrase that comes from the intro on those words of the Apostle Peter. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word. So as little babies thirst for their mama's milk more than anything else, the Lord invites us, as newborn babes, desire this pure milk of the word, for it is the fountain and source of salvation and hope. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us stand for prayer. Lord God, gracious Father, your Son appeared to his disciples in his resurrected flesh to ordain them and to send them out into the world that repentance and forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name. Continue to raise up for us faithful men to serve in the office of the holy ministry. Sustain those whom you have sent with courage and faithfulness. Bless their service among your people, who with St. Thomas confess Jesus as their Lord and God. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, remember those who have wandered from the household of faith. Faithful to your promises, work all things in their lives for their good, to remind them of their need for your unending grace and steadfast love, that they might return to the faith and rejoice in your Son, who has died and is risen again in glory for them. As you sustain the exiles in Babylon, so sustain your scattered church until all may gather together again at your table. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks to you that in the waters of holy baptism, you have declared us to be your children and joined us to the death and resurrection of your Son. This day we remember Kimberly Hughes, Bennett Kittemeyer, Mike Clark, Christine Hardenbrook, Jim Furking, Gary Gailbach, Jason Hoffman, John Thoney, Lyle Wallen, and Joseph Schneider celebrating baptismal birthdays. By your word and spirit, preserve them until they receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord God, at the creation of Adam and Eve, you instituted and blessed marriage as the union of a man and a woman and commanded it that it be held in honor by all. Grant your blessing to all married couples, especially Robert and Sandra Elmer, Pat and Sharon Murphy, that their life together may be blessed with wisdom, purity, self-sacrifice, and love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you appoint rulers and officials for the sake of order and peace. Bless those whom you have placed in authority over us at the federal, state, and local levels. Give to them the desire to serve with integrity and honor, to work for the benefit of all. Protect them, give them health, and direct them wisely in their response to the ongoing pandemic. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, look with mercy upon all who suffer in this vale of tears, those isolated, ill, or endangered from the coronavirus, and those we remember now, especially Jeremy LaFour and his family as Jeremy battles ALS. Infant Mason Perez, recovering from heart transplant surgery. Walter Schmudlock, suffering with an inoperable tumor. David Berger in rehab for a brain injury. Pat Murphy, recovering from a back injury after a fall. And Kurt Scheller in hospice care. Provide them with loving and compassionate care, and comfort them with the reminder that everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and that believing that Jesus is the Christ, they may have life in his name. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Loving God, as your risen Son visited his disciples on the eighth day of the resurrection, so he visits us in his word and sacrament. Whenever Christians are gathered together in his name, bless those who come to receive him at the holy altar this day. Open their mouths that they would be filled with the sweet honey of Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of their sins and the promise of everlasting life and the resurrection of the body. Comfort and sustain those who are unable to gather together this Lord's Day for the Holy Sacrament. Preserve us in the faith that together with all the saints who have gone before us, we may be raised to live forever in Christ's kingdom, which has no end. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Hymn 468, I Am Content. You may be seated. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world,
have mercy upon us.
O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world,
have mercy upon us.
O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world,
grant us thy peace. Amen.
You may approach the altar, five on each side, couples kneeling together.
Thank you. Christ given for you. The body of 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 Christ given for you. Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you, body and soul, in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you, body and soul, in the true faith, unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. O God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Hymn 470, stanzas 7 through 9.
No longer time.